150 eventful years have passed. A new spirit of restlessness grips the 13 English colonies, smarting from what seems to them injustice at the hands of King George III. The American colonists yearn for liberty. Boston Harbor, 1774. Two figures huddle on the deck of a cargo ship, there in the darkness.
Whoops.
Jeez, Charlie, you knocked that whole load of tea in the water there.
Tea, Becker?
Let me handle this, Nancy. Far out, Catherwood. Just roll a couple of bombers and leave them on the side table.
Yes, madam. Pardon me, madam. I seem to have crashed. It's been such a long exposition, you know. I'm so tired.
Catherwood.
Yes, sir.
Catherwood, can't you see you're upsetting Nancy? Leave us alone.
Well, how much would you like, sir? 500? 1,000?
I am Scray Osterbay.
Oh, of course, sir. Ook-ook-a-chook, sir.
Gesundheit.
Yes. I'm so tired. I haven't slept.
Well, I miscalculated with the block and tackle, that's
yeah,
all.
Well, I mean, you blew it. You missed the whole deck there.
Yeah, well, maybe nobody will notice.
Well, what do you mean? There's tea floating all over the place. I mean, how can I go and demand an hourly increase for you guys?
With fringe benefits and all that,
if my men keep knocking stuff overboard.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sorry doesn't do any good, Charlie. Now, I'll cover for you this time, but let's get our story straight.
Good.
Now, a bunch of those Patriot guys came sneaking around dressed up in...
How about in Indian suits?
That's good, in Indian suits.
Good.
They were a little loaded and... they shoved the tea over because they were sore about the tea tax, okay?
Okay. You think anybody will swallow that?
Well, it's just wild enough, Charlie.
Uh-huh. Hey, I got this funny idea, Harry. You see that this tribe of Indians?
I'm dying with laughter already.
Wait, this whole tribe of Indians, they decide they're not a part of the U.S. anymore.
That's a little far-fetched.
It doesn't matter, baby. It's funny, isn't it?
It's a scream.
All right, now, can't you dig it? Edward Everett Horton is the Polish Indian. Leo G. Carroll is the phony medicine man.
I'm dying with laughter.
Gee, look at it swirling around down there. I wonder where we could find a fortune teller that reads harbors.
The trouble continued to brew. It was a time for action and a time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Ben Franklin, hero or hophead.
I wanted the woods and the Indians to sleep with me, but I was afraid of the cold and made them sleep outside. So I never felt the touch of a warm, naked Indian or in a cold, naked forest.
Ben Franklin, the only president of the United States who was never president of the United States. Was he an early drug user? Let's see. He wrote of it in Poor Dick's Conspiracy in 1761, while still an apprentice bookmaker in colonial Philadelphia.
So I betook me to the Hash Fire Inn for a secret caucus of the hotheads. Rebellious libertines all, lusting for life and liberty. The real George Washington brought to him, and I the evening papers. We quickly proceeded to get Sarah Meadows and young Tom Everson goodly stretched by the hemp, which smoked us all like Boston scrod. What a fetid fervor of freedom.
I say, let's have a revolution.
Take up fiery Sam, the tax collector. To which Big Ben replied,
fine, Sam. Then we can invite over a bunch of immigrants and make cars.
Yes, 1761. Hemp kindled the fire of American history. Nerdy clockwork films. An alternate look at an alternate history. For an alternate culture.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
Well, what does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't you?
Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Uh-huh. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals. Professional liberals, don't kid me.
Oh, you called George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment or Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
Oh, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in, huh?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by. Did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it. And he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The Un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
And now, direct from the Paisley House on Capitol Hill, man, we take you to the gathering of the tribes, which is already in session.
Now let me shock it to you, baby. It's clear from these underground films shot in your bedroom by the Free Food and Drug Administration that you've been doling out unauthorized bread and water to a chick who lost a free food card.
But Senator Baby, like she was starving.
Young man, that's her trip. Take him away for re-grooving.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to raise.
Banner to raise.
You must take,
I must take
a stand,
a stand
for this brave,
for this brave
new land,
new land,
for
who wants
to live,
to live,
so conservative,
so
conservative,
innovative.
I don't diss,
he don't
disagree,
agree,
but a man can't be
too careful what he signs these days. If I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Here you are.
Sign here, please. And here. Here. And here. And here. And here. And here.
Look at this show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another three or four guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get him to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
But words give way to open hostility, and history records that fateful year and the midnight ride of Paul Revere.
All right, there's a signal. Get on the horse, Levine.
That's Revere.
Revere, Levine, just so you ride a horse good. Now get going.
All right. Hey. To arms!
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Hey! Who's that making all that racket out there?
It's me, Paul Revere.
Who?
Revere!
I got all the pots and pans I need, sweetie.
But what about the British?
As far as I know, they got all the pots and pans they need, too.
As the seeds of turmoil flowered and grew, the hastily assembled American army craved a banner they could call their own. To a certain Philadelphia seamstress came General George Washington one day in the icy winter of 1777.
Betsy, you in there, Betsy?
Who is it?
It's me, George.
Oh, boy. Come on in. Hey, hey, ever hear of wiping your feet?
How's that?
You're tracking snow all over my early American rug.
Oh, yeah, sorry. All right, let's get out of business now. Have you got it finished?
Your flag?
No, my jacket.
Yeah, but don't you want to see the flag?
The flag can wait. I got a man outside from Esquire.
All right. You want to slip it on?
Please.
Okay, here we go. Take a look in the mirror there.
Is that a darling blazer?
Yeah, darling.
Is it me?
It's you. Huh? Now, how about we check over the flag?
Wait a minute. You think the lace on the cuffs is too much?
No, it's fine.
You really like it?
I adore it. Now, about...
I wonder if I should have had the silk brocade instead of the lace.
Lace, brocade.
Say, these antique military buttons worked out real nice, huh?
Well, I'm glad...
Or should I have taken the mother of pearl?
We've been all through this, George. You wouldn't want the mother of pearl. Once you had them on, you'd hate them.
Yeah, but on the other hand...
Look, I made you a spiffy little blazer there. You got the lace on the cuffs and the antique military buttons and the gold epaulettes and the emblem on the pocket.
All right.
Now, why don't you look at the flag, huh?
All right. Huh?
Just a minute. Let me bite the thread off here.
Well, snap it up. Spread it out in your lap there and we'll... You, having a little fun at your country's expense here? Huh?
How's that?
You're kidding with these colors? Red, white, and blue?
Well, those are the only remnants I had around
Wait a minute.
And it's time once again for us to settle down together and
Move on with your quest. It's your quest to turn out expensive and valuable art canvases at home in a half an hour or so. Canvases that have the real look and feel of the kind of collectible art of the insane that usually has clowns in it. Although I've pretty much made my reputation on not falling for the clown gamut, because I see it as a cheap trick and one suitable only for aging actresses or lounge singers or others who need desperately to get on TV. With paintings that are not authentically insane, they're just cute or affecting. There's nothing like a crying... Well, don't get me started. It's like they have knives, you know? Well, today we're going to discuss subject matter because that's where the real insanity factor can come into play. Even if you can't paint a lick or even if you lick your paints. And if you do lick your paints, don't do it to the cinnabar, the red. That stuff will take your tongue and mail it to Taiwan on a stick if you get my drift. So what I paint, you says to yourself, rolling your eyes to the ceiling. Grab the moment. See, there's an insane metaphor I just came up with, and what am I going to do? Roll in your eyes to the ceiling. I'm going to turn it into a high-priced collectible tramp art of the insane. I said collectible. I suppose I mean collectible. Sounds sort of like test, doesn't it? Well, I've got my canvas. We showed you last week how to pee on it. And here it's a pretend week later, although it's only a TV half hour, which you can tell by the awful smell still here in the studio if you were here, which of course you aren't. And lucky for you, too. Okay, first, I'm going to do the eyes because the ceiling, see, will be orange, and I like to get orange stirred up good. Let's just stir it up with an anvil, I think it is. Luther, would you stir that? Now, eyes are round. I'm using a color, doesn't matter which, they're pretty much all the same. And we put in these dots in the eyes, whatever they're called, eyeballs or something like that. Then we go back across the studio here and hurl the orange from over here. Looks pretty much like one more sport here. There we go. Looks just like Taiwan to me. Now, those smudges could be palm trees. They might be ducks. But that's the kind of insane ambiguity we want. I'll do the stick with this color. You remember I said, mail it to Taiwan on a stick. This is the stick part. It's a wonderful color, that one. I don't know what it's called. I suppose it has a name. Who cares, really? Painting in the stick's a little harder. I'm going to use my palette. Oh, you caught me there, didn't you? You think I meant my palette knife and that I'd made a mistake, and that's where you'd be as wrong as a doorknob on a donut. I'm going to take my entire palette with the thumb, see, that goes right through the little hole for the thumb, and I put it right here. And I start swirling it around, and then I sit on it. And I swirl my elegant buttocks around, and I take a look. I stand back, not too far back, or I'd be off camera. That wouldn't be much of a TV show, would it? Well, there you go. Looks just as surreal as if Tristan Zara himself had swirled his butt on it. And it's worth a lot more to some collector who himself is insane to be collecting the art of the insane.
Stars? I deliberately said polka dots.
Huh?
Stars with stripes? How does that work together, design-wise?
All right, you want to be the big man and put on the thimble, huh?
No, it's just...
Then how's about you let me run the flag department and you run the army like a nice father of our country, okay?
I know, but look at the colors you chose. The best you could do, I suppose. A peppermint stripe with royal blue, the same as the British colors, too. Now how will we tell whose side is who? Look at the colors you chose. Why couldn't it have been puce? Lavender over chartreuse, or possibly some exotic shade, the delicate orange mauve or jade, instead of the choice that has been made. Why couldn't it have been possibly cinnamon?
Everybody wants to be an art director. Everybody wants to call the shots.
Yeah, well.
Everybody wants to be a flag dissector, changing all my stars to polka dots. Everybody thinks that they're the final word on what is strictly out and what is in. How'd you like a banner made of pea green spots on simulated leopard skin? Or possibly a flag that features fleur de lis on ochre corrugated tin?
I'd like it. How soon can you make one up?
Come on, there's your flag. Take it or leave it.
All right. Say, what's this little ticket here that just fell out? Inspected by number 28.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
You want it on a hanger?
No, I'll just run it up the flagpole, see if anybody salutes.
Okay.
I guess it's better than don't tread on me.
Certainly. Besides, 100 years from now, what the heck difference will it make?
I guess you're right. Come on, man.
As it turned out, everyone did salute. The new nation had its flag, the general had his jacket, and Mr. Benjamin Franklin had visitors.
So you want to write me up in your brand new magazine, eh, gentlemen?
That's right, Mr. Franklin.
You got a name for it?
We call it Time.
Kind of a short name, isn't it?
Ample. We think it's ample. Uh-huh. Right to the point.
Going to be a kind of a newsy little magazine, is it?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world. Only thing is, I don't know if I should help you boys. You know, I am pushing a magazine of my own every Saturday.
Pink-cheeked humanitarian Franklin, master of a sprawling publishing empire, is an American institution above and beyond the pettiness of inter-magazine rivalry.
You say, that's pretty good. You just write that?
No, I just said it. We all speak that way down at the office. Parenthesis, C press, close parenthesis.
Well, what's your angle?
Well, sir, we heard through the grapevine that portly, dynamic Ben Franklin this week capped his multifaceted career with his surest fired gimmick since the Franklin stove.
That's right.
Latest entry from the BF stables, bifocal glasses. Printer, author, inventor, diplomat. Sometime philosopher Franklin claims he has revolutionized spectacles.
You guys sure have a stilted way of speaking there.
Now, I wonder if we could get a shot of you, sir.
Oh, so the gentleman's the photographer.
Yes.
I didn't catch your name.
Dapper, thrice married, Fred Livingston, one time.
Now cut that out.
Would you mind peering over those little square glasses and quip something witty?
Wait, let me get him on here. Oh, say, can I see?
Try again.
Right. Honesty is the best policy.
If you don't mind my saying so, sir, isn't that just a little bit old hat?
Okay, a rolling hat gathers no moss.
Do you mind if we punch it up a bit?
Sure, change a couple words there if you want.
By the way, do you have any other inventions up your clever, velvet, sometime tailor-made sleeve?
Well, I might just have it that, parenthesis... See science, close parenthesis.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
If you'll excuse me a moment, I may have an exclusive for you.
Meanwhile, as lightning crackles overhead, history is made in the backyard of Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
Myron? Oh, Myron, where are you?
Over here, Mr. Foot, the kite.
All right. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Well, you got it way up there?
Yeah, she's really up there.
Explain to me again now what the heck is here.
Well, I figured this way. The lightning strikes the kite and is conducted down the string.
Is what?
Is conducted. That means it travels down the string to this little key I've got.
What little key?
Like key right there.
Oh, you got a little key on there.
Well, now watch. You see what's coming from the key? That's electricity.
Why, it's a miracle. The parenthesis, religion, close parenthesis.
Huh?
Listen, you feel a tingling sensation in your hand there? I mean, it hurt to hold on to the string?
No, can't feel a thing. Oh, by the way, how are you enjoying the little square glasses I made for you? Those special lenses make it easier to read, don't they?
Yeah, and now about the kite.
I told you you'd like them. Just a matter of getting used to them.
Look, my...
I told Dad I thought it was the best thing I'd done since my stove.
I wish you wouldn't discuss these things with your father. Now, about the kite.
Well, the way I figure it, this proves that lightning is really electricity.
My goodness, what a discovery. Tonight, mankind is taking a great leap forward. Parenthesis, see sports.
Close parenthesis.
Close
parenthesis.
Mr. Franklin?
Where are you, Mr. Franklin?
Quick, hand me the kite. Here comes the press.
When I started my first year at Yale, that September 1921, I never dreamed I'd ever become an icon. All I did was decide to scull down to Breakneck, Long Island, for a Thanksgiving dinner at the laboratory mansion of my eccentric uncle, Professor Emmanuel Archetype.
Ah, there you are. Welcome, Frankie. Pour yourself a cocktail. Sit down first. Stand up.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Uncle Professor.
Pour yourself a cocktail.
All right. These martinis look great.
Oh, not that one, boy. That'll make you live forever.
Wow! I wouldn't want to do that for a long time.
Oh, sure.
Shaken and stirred, he sat me down in front of what looked like an aquarium. Where are all the fish, sir?
Belly up in a net.
What?
That's the catch, Frank. Shovel some coal into that boiler over there.
Oh, okay, sir.
Come on, put your back into it. That's it. Good boy. No, I want some more. 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 Come on, keep it going. Come on. Catch it now. Here it comes. Welcome to the steam-driven internet, Frank.
Wow!
Yes, sir. You see, boy, I have invented a device whereby all the people in the world can communicate at the speed of light.
You mean radio?
No, radio's a heartbreak. Radio's a glass of warm lemonade compared to this. Would you like a glass of warm lemonade, boy?
I'd rather have another of these cold martinis.
No, whoa. Frank, not that one. That's the cure for polio. Sit down and keep your eyes on that aquarium.
It's very bracing.
Frank.
Thank you.
Yes.
What do you mean, eyes? Have you invented television?
Television? It's an addiction whose time is yet to come, Frank. Yes, again.
Gee, it's not radio or television. Can I have sex with it?
Well, virtually. You know, you can do virtually anything on the internet. Steam-driven it is, young man.
But you can't eat it. What if I want a snack?
Ah, you come to the right place. You want a snack? Just watch this. Here we go.
What are you doing?
I'm mailing a message to the cook.
Well,
here.
Can't you just ring the bell?
Now, this is better than bells, Frank. It's bells and whistles. Come on. Just type in COOK at kitchen.home. Look, there's the menu, you see?
Wow.
Canapes.
Canapes.
Anchovies.
Ooh.
Heated, 12-point, two dozen. And now, enter. There it is.
Your snack, sir.
Wow.
Anchovies faster than the speed of light.
Oh, this is better than television and radio put together.
Radio is television put together, Frank.
What?
Never mind. Eat your anchovies, boy.
Boom. This is a tasty invention. What else does it do?
I don't know. I don't care. You know, the war's over. Yeah. And I got a government contract to convert bombs to butt whistles. Yes, sirree, that's where the money is. Oh, I love them butt whistles.
Over here, gentlemen. Right over here.
December 1776, on the banks of the Delaware. Cruel winds whistle through the threadbare clothing of the 8,000-man American army, all too aware of General Howe's powerful troops across the icy waters. They await the decision of their leader, General George Washington, for he and he alone can make the choice upon which hinges the destiny of their infant nation.
All right, then. How much you want for the boat that says Popeye on it?
$1.20 an hour.
Well, how about the one that says Donald Duck on it?
Eh?
The one with the little striped awning there?
Along with all the other jobs that were offered, one was Donald Duck Law Firm of Indianapolis. There is one of the largest,
yes,
most conservative law firms in all of Indianapolis is Donald Duck and Associates.
That's right.
And also you'd say the Central Intelligence Agency is having job appointment interviews. Yes, yes. No put on, man. No put on.
The Donald Duck Law Firm?
Donald Duck and Associates. In Indianapolis. And we'll get a letter when
and
we
syndicate
the...
And you laughed at me when I confused Ferdy Griffin and Elmer Fudd.
Well, they're rich and powerful men, and it's dangerous to confuse them. Donald Duck and Associates are just simple lawyers in Indianapolis, man. They don't have any power or ability to terrorize people outside of the city limits. Just little guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, that boat right there?
That boat right there.
Well, that boat right
that
there
boat.
Will run you $2 an hour.
What? That's an outrage. This is December. It's your off-season. How many customers can you get this time
Look,
of year?
Look, fella, you run the army and let me run the boat rental, okay?
All right. Don't get smart with me. I'm General Washington.
I know who you are. I seen your picture on the money, and I wish you'd make up your mind. The boat rides are closing.
Well, let's review them once again here. Popeye was $1.20
an hour.
Yeah.
$1.20 an hour, that's right.
And a striped awning.
General Duck.
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The men are freezing.
So?
So we were wondering if
yes?
we could come to some decision on the boat.
Yeah, they think they got problems. I just had my wig set this morning, and this damp air isn't doing it any good. Look at it, straight as a stick.
Well, it looks just fine to me, sir.
Really?
Huh? Yes, yes.
Think it looks all right?
Listen, you're going to rent a boat tonight or not? I'd like to freeze my ears off.
All right, don't rush me.
If we could make a decision on the boat, sir, it'll soon be daylight.
Well, let it be daylight. We're liable to tip over out there at night.
Yes, well, there was the element of surprise in the whole thing, don't you see, sir?
Oh. Well, all right, you can get the men loaded in the other boats. Get that out of the way.
They are in the other boats, sir. They have been for hours. Now, if we could just come
all
to
right.
some...
All right, hold your horses.
We ate the horses yesterday, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be with you
Did
shortly.
You really eat the horses yesterday?
I didn't. They did. Enlisted men. Now I got it narrowed down to two here. Buy a dear little seat in it.
Yes, yes.
And that's $1.20.
Uh-huh.
See? And Donald Duck has a striped awning.
I see.
$2. Give it up to you, Lieutenant. Doesn't that strike you as a little high?
Well, I don't know, sir. Perhaps a bit, but...
All right, you see there? Huh. Now, what would you say to $1.75 for Donald Duck?
$2 an hour, not a penny less.
Say, what are you trying to do, gouge a serviceman?
Well, I might ask, what are you army guys trying to do? Stifle the small businessman?
Why, that's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
All right, then. Kick the end of Donald Duck around and let me see it.
I can't. My feet are frozen.
Oh.
Look, mister, why don't you take the one called Popeye? You'll be happy with that boat. The price is right. $1.20 an hour.
Well, I don't know. You like it, Lieutenant?
She's a beaut, sir. Besides, we're only renting it for the one night.
But you really like it better than the one with the awning.
You wouldn't want the one with the awning, sir. Once you got into it, you'd hate it. Honestly, take the other one.
Why? You think it's really me?
Yes, on my word, sir, it's you.
But I just don't know about the color.
The color is fine. Black is a great color. It sets off your wig.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Popeye it is.
I tell you, boy, I've seen some customers, but this guy's a Lulu.
Now, we got everything, the flag.
Right, sir.
The ukulele?
Yes, sir.
The sandwiches?
The boatman has some right here, sir.
Oh. What kind you got there?
I got ham and Swiss, liverwurst or tuna salad.
Well, let me see, is he... Tuna salad, good today?
It's you! It's you!
All right, how much?
25 cents.
What? 25 cents for a tuna salad sandwich?
Here, take it with my blessings.
Well,
hey, take a liverwurst, too. Enjoy, enjoy.
I was drinking English beer, and we watched movie about catching tuna.
About tuna?
It's a chicken of the sea tuna movie in color, and it had all this picture of this boat with the setting sun glistening off all these dead tuna on the deck, and it said, a sight like this... makes the village happy, right? No one starves again night in La Guaca. And then they come in La Guaca, they all cut the heads off, and the heads are a great big mound, which glistens at night, and that's how the ships know how to get in the next day.
Oh, come
like
on,
a lighthouse.
Peter. No, that's right.
No,
come on,
There's
Peter.
This whole mound.
Come on.
No, man. It's true.
Is it true?
It's true, man. There's like this mound. It's like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 tuna are caught a day, and the heads, which
that
then...
That must make a pretty big light.
Yeah, well, the cat...
A greater light of tuna, dear friends.
Yeah, well, it's just the moon.
To
it's
guide
just reflection
the ship
the moon
is in.
Off the dead fish. Thousands of these eyes looking out to sea, and you can't miss them.
Gee, that's incredible, Peter.
Yeah, and it's not even true.
Right.
And so the Delaware was crossed. Thus was begun one of the most glorious pages in American history.
Imagine that guy. Wanted 25 cents. Lousy tuna. Whoops, watch where you're rowing now. Men like the little boat I picked out for you here? Called Papa.
And America has always gone forward on the sound of marching feet to the military beat of drums, drums, drums. Helping to hold the banner high, stirring the hearts of her men. This then is the spirit of 76.
What do you mean you're walking off the job?
Like I'm walking off the job, man. I don't have to work with that kind of square drummer.
Well, man. I don't see any reason.
No, I mean,
why
when
we
I
can.
Accepted the gig, I didn't know I was going to have to play fife with the kind of moldy fig.
Well, we certainly
drumming
can.
Like what is going on up ahead there, man. No.
Moldy,
Now, the kid here is on and drums, and the kid is swinging pretty good, but we can't make it swing with that other cat, dig?
You tell him, Bix.
Look here now, we're engaged in battle. The army's depending
well,
on you.
Well, too bad, man. Back here holding the flag, you don't have to walk next to him, you know?
Well, what exactly is your objection to the man?
Well, in the first place, anybody with a name like Yankee...
Doodle.
Yeah, well, the name says it, man, you know?
Yes, but what is the main problem?
Like, it's a toss-up between the drumming and the singing, man.
The singing?
I got a bandage around my ears, but it doesn't help much. It's a bad song.
Well, let's walk back up there and talk to him, see if we can't straighten it out.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, Doodle, the fife player and the other drummer want to leave. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
They're out of step with me, that's what's the trouble.
Is that true?
Oh, wow, he wants to play bop, 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 and it ought to go scoopy doopy doopy doop bow, 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 yeah, bow, ooh, ooh. Chicka-boom. Man, like you didn't say anything about though we were going to work up near the cannonballs, man. I mean,
well,
I thought we were working like an officer's club man.
Let's get on with the procession here, gracious.
Yes, now let's make an effort and play it like Doodle wants to.
Yeah, well, it's a drag.
Get on with the marching here.
Back in 1776, boy, they were too busy singing songs like
Yankee Doodle came to terms, writing Martin Buber. Stuck a Fuhrer in our back and called it Chico Goober.
Come on, Mr. and Mrs. Too Busy to be a homecoming queen. Get in step with the voices of the feet already dead in the service of their country.
Father, I went down to camp along with Captain Gooding. There we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty. Everybody!
Yankee Doodle, keep it up.
Keep it up and we'll blow the whole wall.
Mind the music and the step and with the girls behind.
I heard that.
Yankee Doodle came to town a riding on the pony. He stuck a feather in his cap and called it back a pony.
Yes, sir! I'm a Yankee Doodle.
That's all, man. That's it.
I'm hip.
That's it.
Come on, pick up your instrument.
Oh, that's it, man.
What's the
you know.
Trouble now?
It's a bad scene, man, right?
Bad scene, Bix.
Come on, you're holding up the whole parade.
Let's stop the bickering in the ranks here. Do you want the war to end on a note of triumph or disaster?
Like either way, man. And just so it swings.
Now look.
Scooby-Doo.
Let's reach a compromise here. 8 bars your way and 8 bars Doodle's.
All right.
Crazy.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Mind the music and the step and...
Okay, out of the way, man. Like...
Well, that was pretty rude. Hold it, people, please!
Pretty good there, Daddy.
You've influenced me a lot, Bix.
Yeah, well, you know.
Outrageous! You ruined the whole selection. Mercy.
Yorktown, 1781. This was the climax. Pitifully short of food and supplies, the tattered American army is reduced to a mere handful. While destiny held its breath, General George Washington courageously faced the awesome challenge of his career.
All right, once again now.
Yes, sir.
You think I ought to surrender in the blue blazer or the trench coat?
Well, the trench coat is nice, sir, but... Well,
let me slip the blue blazer on once again just to give you the idea.
Sir, that won't be necessary. I remember the
blazer.
Well,
I'll just give you the idea.
You've tried it on 12 times, sir.
Well, you can't rush into these things.
Pardon me, General Washington?
Yes, who are you?
Snyder's my name. I'm from American Bell and Bell. I've got a statement here that's too overdue for that big 5,000-pound job in Philadelphia.
What? You expect us to pay for that bell? Huh. Had a crack in it as long as your arm.
Well, I don't know anything about a crack. All I know is I'm supposed to get something on the account.
You're looking down in history at the moment. Could you come back in a little while?
Well, if you could give us a portion of it now and the balance after you get the country straightened out.
Yeah, we'll see. Now I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Schneider. Do you see me surrendering a blue blazer with antique military...
Watch yourself, sir!
Buttons? Not too ivy, just...
General Washington, sir.
Yes, what is it, Lieutenant?
I have an idea how we might not have to surrender after all.
What do you mean? I'm all dressed for the occasion.
But, sir, your country is at stake. Now, here's my idea. You know the Rockwell boy who works on Franklin's magazine?
The one he just hired?
Yeah, skinny kid with a pipe.
Right.
I can have him here in 15 minutes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I'll get him a big piece of canvas, 500 yards long, some brushes, a lot of paint.
I see.
But we've got to work faster.
Uh-huh.
Finish by daybreak. Now, here's my plan. While the British are sleeping...
Good morning, Lord Cornwallis.
Oh, hello, Bradshaw. Fine morning, isn't it, old man? Just the sort of morning to defeat the American rebels, right?
Right, sir.
Well then, shall we mount the attack and muddle through to victory? What was that?
English horns.
No, Buffett.
Oh, gunfire. Oh, the Americans, General. Look, they must have brought up 20,000 fresh troops during the night.
Yeah. Let me have the glass.
Here's it.
No, the other one. Jove, you're right. Look at them all out there. How fierce they look. Why, they're not moving a muscle. Seem to be frozen in their tracks. Almost like a painting. A grim visage of war.
We'll stage a war. Mm. And such a moving picture of a war we see that only we can frame it. Focused in our inner eye, a spectacle of arms, a war to end all debts, an exercise to lead us Moses-like from out a sea of red and guide our columns up to inky black.
But we'll need stars to lead the way. The Duke of Wayne is lost.
We'll find new name of the titles, Pinewood.
The products of this realm of late have not been well distributed. Aye, losses have sustained.
Aye, the capital tax upon the Indies hath wrought great damage to our stock.
Aye, we hear thee, Lord Mayor Broccoli. We know now that we shall pledge such guarantees from all the houses in our realm that... our investment will secure your safe return.
I see no green light in this.
Nor I.
And further, we will no concessions take, but leave the popping corn to you.
Right, then.
We'll be butter off.
Then let us now our companies join. I've merchants, ivory. And crooked books no one can read.
I've a cringe and gaffers, and I shall my best boys add to your supply.
And I 1,000 extras more shall offer up.
I've handmade men who ride a horse, and if they fall, they'll rise to do their stunts again.
Sound men have I.
A second unit I'll supply with working title.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
My castle rocks with joy. Thanks, studious Ealing, for throwing in thy lot, sir.
Do cry but action, and we'll roll 'em, sire.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
We'll shoot by night, as if it were by day. 500 points, and offer 10 to every faithful Highland border laird. A universal gesture, paramount to none. And yes... you'll more than gold win, Mayor. Lords and nobles, united artists at the end. And if this dream works, 1, 2, 3, the back end credits we shall live to see.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
My, look at the determination on that fellow. The skinny kid with the pipe.
Hmm.
Hello.
They've begun their barrage.
Great heavens, Lord Cornwallis. I'm afraid we've had it.
Yes. Well, time for the better part of valor and all that. Shall we go?
After you, sir. Yeah.
The thing is working, Lieutenant. Well, I don't... Wait! General Washington!
Huh?
Here are a couple of British officers waving a white flag!
I say, we surrender! We give up! Stop all that dreadful shooting, old man!
All right, wait a minute. Let me kill the sound effect here. Okay, you guys. Strike the wart. Up.
Good heavens. We've been diddled.
Did I hear you over there?
Yes, but look here, old fellow. It's not cricket. You're not playing the game.
What's that?
We thought you had a whole regiment here. Look, Bradshaw, the whole thing was nothing but a ruddy painting, a backdrop.
That's right. Well, a little gimmick I thought up there. Actually, our army was routed yesterday. Nobody here but me, the lieutenant, and the skinny kid with the... Where'd he go?
You rolled him up in the backdrop, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, release him there. You all right, young man?
Give him a pipe.
Paul has his pipe jammed in his cheek. Give him a hand, Bradshaw.
Oh, yes, of course. Ruined a good Cape Woody there.
Fortunes of war.
I say, Lord Cornwallis, this whole thing is...
No, Bradshaw. Well, you fellows win, I guess.
Yes, well, that's the way it goes, you know.
Of course, the king will be livid.
Uh-huh. Well, you still have most of the rest of the world. Mustn't be piggy.
Quite so.
Say, you mind if I try on the sword there?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, all right. What do you think? Is it me?
Lord Cornwallis.
Is it me?
It's you, yes. What is it, Bradshaw?
Could I speak to you privately?
Yes, all right. Excuse us, please. No.
No, if you'll permit me, sir. There's only the three of them. Now, one signal for one, and we'll take them all prisoner.
My dear fellow, look at it this way. Now those chaps have won, this makes us foreigners, right?
Right.
And we all know how foolishly generous the Americans are.
You mean?
Yes. Tomorrow we apply for foreign aid.
I say, what a smashing idea.
You ready, gentlemen?
Any time, actually.
So long, friend, we have come to the end of the battle that we all deplore.
That highly military, script by Dory Sherry,
revolutionary war!
Mr. Freeburg?
Yes?
I'm from the Daughters of the American Revolution!
Later.
The United States of America is a Stan Freeberg production.